friends in Radio Land. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Wisdom's Talk with Reverend Mordred Nunes. You may listen, or you are listening to Reverend Nunes on the internet at 1350WNLK.com or on Radio WNLK 1350 AM and WSTC 1400 AM, or call to listen at 563-999-3149 on Wednesdays and Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. Wisdom's Talk. And the daily question is, does what we believe make a difference in our lives? If so, join me as we search the Word to find new meaning for our daily lives, as we search the Word of God. And we say, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the only one. And we'll be right back to continue now to our part two of Seasons of Prayer. We'll be right back as we listen to Wisdom's Talk. And just stay tuned. We'll be right back. And friends, as we continue now with our teaching that we began on last Wednesday, and we're using this little book called the 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible, the 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible, as we're talking about seasons of prayer, right? Seasons of prayer. We did Seasons of Prayer Part 1. And today we'll be doing Seasons of Prayer Part 2. And I want to share with you from this book that I've been reading. And we're going to look at a couple of other prayers. And as we said last time, that there are seasons in life: winter, spring, summer, and fall. There are seasons in life that we go through. You know, when winter comes, we're hoping and praying that spring will come soon. And then the spring comes and we go through spring. Some of us are looking for summer. Some would like to stay in spring. And then there comes the fall or the autumn. But no matter what season of life we're in, I would submit to you that we should always be praying. And so there's seasons of prayer is all the time. And so I want to share this with you. So again, using this book, the 21 Most Effective Prayers of the Bible by David Early. Very good reflection. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Prayer of Solomon. And the Prayer of Solomon is found in 2 Chronicles 1, chapter 1. I'm going to focus on verse 10, but it's 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And this little subtitle is, Give Me Wisdom, right? The Prayer of Solomon, Give Me Wisdom. And now hear the word. Now hear what, as we begin, I'll read the scriptures afterward. And what if God gave you the sweetest deal of the century? Maybe the best offer in the millennium God has offered you. Suppose God said to you, Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Can you imagine? Ask me for whatever you want, anything at all. Nothing is too big, and I will. Not might or could, but I will give it to you. What would you ask for? What would I ask for? Would it be truckloads of money? Not to be used selfishly, of course. Would you want to be able to pay off your bills, help out friends, secure your children's future, and so on, you know, help your church and things like that. Would it be that? Would you want to be doing that, you know, doing these things to make sure that all this is done, you know? Would you want to, you know, support a bunch of ministries and then pay for finding a cure for cancer or AIDS, you know? It may cross your mind that having a new house and a luxury car might be a way to let people know that God is not a stingy God. After all, it's okay to have money as long as it doesn't have you, right? So, you know, we always think we don't know, you know, what we would do, but who knows what any of us would do, right? Who knows what we would do? We think we are going to be so, you know, do something holy and righteous, but who knows what we would be doing? And so, or when, let's think about it, would you go for an ultimate makeover? Would you want a younger, sleeker, stronger, healthier model? You know, just imagine. Maybe you want to, you desire to have a blonde or a brunette. You know, you want to have a beautiful version of someone else, a handsome man. You know, you want to start over. Of course, the reason you want this wonder body or whatever we're looking for could be, you know, to share our faith and to do things for the Lord. Or we may want to ask for some superpowers. Think of all the people you could help if you could heal crowds of sick people as Jesus did, raising the dead. You know, certainly could glorify God. Feeding thousands with a small boy's lunch is a beneficial ability. All the things we could ask God for, right? Hearing God tell you that he would gladly give you or me anything we ask for would be a mind-boggling prospect. Impossible, you say. Not so. Nearly 3,000 years ago, God gave the exact opportunity to a man named Solomon in 1 Chronicles 1:7. Solomon had his hands full. As the second son of the faithful David and Bathsheba's union, he was born with a stain on his record. His home life wasn't easy, with 5 stepmothers and some wild half-brothers. One half-brother, Amnon, raped his half-sister Tamar. His brother Absalom then sought revenge and murdered Amnon. That we saw in 2 Samuel 13. Later, Absalom made a violent and ultimately suicidal pact for the throne. We see that in 2 Samuel 14, chapter 14 to 18. And so we see that Solomon, you know, came from a very stained background. Yes, Solomon was to be given the reins of the kingdom of his father, King David. David was the action era of 1000 BC. And so we know the story of David. David had committed, you know, this adultery with Bathsheba and had lost the first boy. And then now they would have Solomon. And here now, as we look at the, after David died, we heard that Solomon would become king. We were told that would happen, right? And so here in the scriptures, if you look at 2 Chronicles here, I'm just going to read a little bit from 2 Chronicles 1:7 to 10. The scripture reads, right? That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed for you have made me king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" So here it is. God is, you know, said to Solomon, "You know, ask me anything you want. Ask me for whatever you want. Whatever you think you may need, ask me." And guess what? Solomon asked for what? To give him wisdom. Give me wisdom, Solomon says. Give me wisdom. He's asking now for wisdom. Now, right? Solomon asked for what he believed to be the most important gift anyone can receive, wisdom. Wisdom. He ranked wisdom ahead of money or looks or miracle workers. Solomon was a diligent student, and he used this time growing up in the court of a king to study the greatest minds of his land. He accumulated the teachings of the ages and collected the parables of the ages. It was his conclusion that the road to blessing leads through the door of wisdom. In his book, Proverbs, he wrote the following. So Solomon wanted wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs, which is written by Solomon, he wrote the following. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. That is wisdom. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. And that's wisdom. Wisdom is a female character, right? And Solomon would know that. And so Solomon was seeking wisdom from God. To Solomon, if you can only acquire a single gift, the gift is to get wisdom. He would say in Proverbs 4:5-6, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swear from them or swear from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. So Solomon really believed that wisdom was the thing. To be wise was the thing, not rubies. He believed that rubies and gold and silver and money, all of that, would follow. But wisdom was the thing. In Proverbs chapter 4:7-9, he would say, wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will get a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. So Solomon really understood, and he wanted wisdom. A careful study of the book of Proverbs reveals wisdom to be diligently acquired art of the skillful living. It is the careful cultivation of a God-centered, Christ-like, character-driven, common-sense way of living. Wisdom is the path that leads to God. It is characterized by righteousness, mercy, tact, humility, discipline, respect for authority, teachability, and honesty. So, when given the opportunity to ask God for anything, Solomon asked for wisdom. Give me wisdom is one of the most effective prayers found in the pages of Scripture, and one God loves to answer. The book of 1 Kings records God's response. 1 Kings chapter 3 verses 10 to 12 records God's response to Solomon. And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the debt of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. And we know that we said that Solomon was the wisest king, right? Yes, he was very wise and understood. So God answered, and God answered and gave him wisdom. In 2 Chronicles, we read this record of the Lord's answer. And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, as such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have. And so that would be in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. And so you see, because Solomon asked for wisdom, God gave him wisdom, and then he gave him the wealth, because God was really impressed with what Solomon did, asking for wisdom. And so we read, soon after, Solomon's wisdom was put on display. You know, the story of the two harlots. I don't know if you've heard the story, but there were two harlots who came to Solomon for a verdict. They both lived in the same house, and they both were mothers of a newborn child. Woman number one claimed that the woman number two number two's baby died in the night. So the woman number one, woman number two switched the babies while the woman number one was still asleep. So there were two women who were pregnant and gave birth. And the first woman baby died, and she switched the baby and took the second woman's baby, right, while she was asleep. So woman number one was denied it. It was up to Solomon to decide who was right. So shrewdly he ordered a man to cut the living baby in half and give each woman a half. The first woman cried out, give her the baby, don't kill him. And the second woman says, neither of us will have a living baby, cut him in two. The ploy worked perfectly. Solomon ordered, don't kill that baby, give him to the first woman. She obviously is a real mother. Not surprisingly, Solomon's reputation for unusual wisdom spread throughout the nation. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God says, yes. In the book of First Kings, we can read a summary of the amazing way God answered Solomon's prayer for wisdom. What about you and me? If God was to come before us and say, right now, appear to me right now on this radio station and says, ask me, you know, what I want. What about me? What would I say? What would you say? We should ponder that. Should we ask for riches and gold and fancy house and clothes and a good-looking mate, you know, and a sexy man or a sexy woman, whatever our liking is? Or would we say, God, give me wisdom. Give me discernment so I could know you more, Lord God. And so we see in 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 to 33, it reads, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand. And Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of the men of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan. And so we see Solomon was blessed with this wisdom from God. So we see that Solomon was wiser and brighter than anyone else because God gave him this wisdom. Solomon became known as one of the wisest and richest men who ever lived. The wisdom books of the Bible, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes came from his divinely inspired mind and from his inspired pen. It was God who answered his prayer for wisdom. Like Solomon, Jesus' adolescence and young adult years were characterized by progress in wisdom. We see that in Luke 2:52. If Jesus, a mortal being, needed to grow in wisdom, how much more do you and I? And so the question I'm posing here on Wisdom's Talk today is, what if God was to show up now and ask you a question? If God was to appear now and says, ask me for anything, I will grant you anything. My God in heaven, many of us would be asking for all kinds of stuff, wouldn't we? I probably would too. I've gotten better at seeking God and seeking his face. And so the writer of the book, this little reflection, the 21 most effective prayers of the Bible, writes here, it says, making it personal, asking God for wisdom and receiving it is not a one-time deal. That only Solomon was able to cash in on. Give me wisdom is a prayer all of us can pray with confidence. The New Testament book of James gives us the encouragement to ask for wisdom with the promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Of course, the 21 most effective prayers, in the one I like a lot as I've read this, is give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to lead. Give me wisdom to make the right decision. Give me wisdom to know what is right or wrong. Give me wisdom, Lord. I use that myself oftentimes, asking God, God, could you please give me wisdom when I am struggling through things, even in my own personal life, when I'm struggling, I ask God over, you know, please, God, give me wisdom. Let me understand. Even when things don't go right and I don't get it, or I ask in prayer to God and my prayers are not answered, right? And I say to myself, oh, Lord God, why am I prayer not answered, Lord? I thought I understood. Then I remember the prayer of Solomon, and I says, Lord, give me wisdom and discernment to accept it, to accept what you have done, Lord God, and to know that you are wise, wiser than I could ever imagine or think. And so as we go through this season of prayer, let's be mindful that we just don't have to pray for things and all of that, because God will grant it, as God did for Solomon. And so now we are going to go to music, and I'm going to play a song for you, and then we will come back with the second piece of as we are in part two of the season of prayer, because we know that our God hears and answers every prayer. Praise God.
I may not know. There are some places I cannot go. But I am sure of this one. My sin. since that day.
Since that day.
Since that hour. God has been real.
For
I can feel His holy power.
Yes, God is real.
God.
I know He's real. He's real in my soul.
In my soul.
Oh, my God is real, because I could feel Him. I could feel Him in my soul. Can you feel Him today, friends? My God is real, because I can feel Him in my soul. I could feel God in my soul. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. On Wisdom's Talk today, and yes, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I hope you could feel Him in your soul today, and we're continuing with part two of Seasons of Prayer, part two. And we just looked at Solomon's request for prayer, you know, for answered prayer when God asked him, you know, ask me anything, Solomon. Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. And so we want to say today we can ask God not just for riches, because He blessed Solomon anyhow and gave him riches. And now I want to share this other portion with you, a second prayer. And this prayer is a prayer of Elijah. And we find it in 1 Kings 18:37. And then I'll read a little bit of the scripture for you, a couple of the verses of the scripture for you. But we read that in 1 Kings chapter 18. And this is subtitled in the book, The 21st Most Effective Prayers of the Bible, Answer Me, the Prayer of Elijah. Answer Me, the Prayer of Elijah. Elijah needed a miracle. There are times when what we need is an answer to prayer. And then there are those rare, probably, times, you know, once in a lifetime moments when we have to have a miracle. We just need a miracle. We need God to move in our lives. The Old Testament prophet did not need a nice, run-of-the-mill, easily explained answer to prayer. The situation demanded an outright, jaw-dropping, undeniable, superseding the laws of nature, impressive, verbal miracle. Without it, Elijah would be killed and God's chosen people would drift into pagan oblivion. Have you ever needed a miracle from God so badly, friends, that you need it so badly that if God doesn't show up and do something, nothing is going to happen? Elijah needed it. As Charles Dickens would say, it was the worst of times, right? King Ahab and Queen Jezebel had steered the nation of Israel down a road leading away from the Lord and then stepped on the accelerator. And woe to anyone who caused a traffic jam. Ahab was a man whose wickedness was exceeded only by that of his wife Jezebel. Everything about the woman dripped iniquity and evil. Together they publicly promoted the worship of the pagan god Baal, right? Or Baal or Baal, right? In order to shock the nation back from its dangerous path, the Lord sent a drought. This was not just a seasonal sign, but a heaven-sent plague that lasted for 3 years. For 3 years, God would send a drought, right? And there it was. Elijah needed a miracle. The lack of rain was an obvious slap in the face of the supposed rain god Baal. And after 3 years without rain, the people stood precariously with one foot on either side, partially following the false god and sort of following the Lord. Not a good place to be. So the people started trying to follow God, you know, the true God of Israel, and also tried to follow Baal, right? Try to follow the God of Israel and then try to follow Baal. That's what they were doing. They were wavering. They were wavering back and forth, And God was not going to have it. And Elijah now needed God to show up. Have you ever needed God to just show up in your life and do something mighty? For God just to show up and do something mighty. And so scripture tells us here that this is what happened, and I'll just paraphrase it for you a little bit, right? After 3 years without rain, the people were just waiting. Into the boiling chaos, the quadrum of chaos, God sent his man, Elijah, his prophet. And here's this prophet who's going to come. He's wild, he's eccentric, he's a bold minister of the God Almighty, and he's going to be risking death. Elijah faced Ahab and challenged him to gather the people for a power duel of the deities. He was going to have a power duel, right? It's going to be on the mountain, right? And when the day of decision dawned, Elijah stood alone on Mount Carmel, facing 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the goddess Asherah, before the gathered nation of Israel. And the odds were 950-1. It looked like a mismatch, and as it turned out, it was. But a mismatch on the other side, you see. Just wait and see. And, you know, and so Elijah confronted the people with a challenge. Quit sitting on the fence. If the Lord is the real God, follow him. If Baal is the one, then follow him, right? We see that, I'm paraphrasing, that's in 1 Kings 18:21. And the people sat in stunned silence as they continued, let's have a duel between the deities. They wanted to see a duel between Baal and Yahweh. We will both offer an ox on the altar, and the Baal prophets will pray to their God, and I will pray to mine. The God who answers with fire will prove to be real, the real God. The winner takes all. Again, paraphrasing 1 Kings 18:22-24. Since Baal was supposedly able to control lightning, thunder, and rain, everyone agreed. Humans love to watch car wrecks. The show would be highly entertaining. So here they were on Mount Carmel, and they're waiting for this showdown, right? They're waiting for this showdown, and they're waiting for this big thing to happen. The Baal prophets went first. They prayed all morning, Baal, answer us. The only response they received was a wall of absolute silence. When Elijah began to taunt them, they prayed louder, harder, and more passionately. They did anything they could think of to provoke a response from their deity. Yet, there was not even a flicker of reply. They did everything, trying to, nothing, nada, zippo. Baal had failed. You could see that in 1 Kings 18:27-29. Then it was Elijah's turn. First, you know what Elijah did? He repaired the altar the other prophets had knocked down in their feeble attempts to attract the attention of Baal. He dug a trench around the altar, and then he put wood on it and another ox. Then he did an absolutely outrageous thing. Elijah had the altar drenched in water time after time until the excess water filled the trench. He had to be crazy if 950 prophets' prayers could not get their God to send a spark. How did he think one man could get his God to consume a water-soaked sacrifice? So here was it now. You know, Elijah had a challenge because they had 950 prophets praying to their gods and they couldn't, nothing happened. But Elijah, one man, is going to pray with to one God, the true and the living God, the God that I serve, the God that we serve. And so standing in front of the altar before the entire nation and the hundreds of false prophet and King Ahab, Elijah needed a miracle. He needed a miracle. If he failed, they would kill him, and the Lord would be squeezed out of the nation through Ahab's political clout. So this really was a thing to say, if Elijah failed, what would happen if Elijah failed? The people would start worshiping Baal as their God. So Elijah did the only thing a man in desperate need of an impossible miracle does. He prayed. How big is God? How big is God? Big enough. So Elijah offered one of the most effective prayers recorded in the Bible and asked God for a really big thing. At the time of the sacrifice, I'm going to read from 1 Kings 18, 36 to 37. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, or these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Answer me. That was Elijah's request. Elijah offered a simple two-word request. Answer me, and God did. Answer me, and God did. Isn't God awesome? And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 18 to 38, then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When I read the story, you know, I always think of this miracle, that our God is able to do all things. Elijah's petition was powerful. The prophets of Baal prayed all day, and Baal couldn't even make a spark to light the dry kindling wood. Then Elijah prayed for less than a minute, and God sent fire from heaven that was so mighty it ignited a soaking wet sacrifice and burnt up the wet wood, saturated the stones and soil. And if that wasn't enough, the blaze consumed all the water in the trench. All the water in the trench. I say, wow. And so did the people who witnessed the miracle. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate on the ground and they cried, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. We see that in 1 Kings 18 to 39. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. How big is God? Big enough. The spiritual direction of an entire nation was turned back to God, all because one man was not afraid to confront the enemy and ask God for a miracle. Friends, listen in Radioland, are you willing to ask God for a miracle today? Elijah lived in the largeness of God, and miracles were the result. He prayed, answer me. And God did. He prayed, answer me, and many people were steered back on course. He asked for victory, producing miracle, and the enemy was crushed. I tell you, this is the kind of God we served. And in the book, The 21st Most Effective Prayers of the Bible, he writes about a story about a missionary called Helen Rosevere, was a missionary doctor who spent 20 years ministering in the Congo. This was one of a very awesome story she told. And I want to share this story with you. If somebody out there is, you know, seeking God and wanting to hear from God. And it goes, she says, one night I worked hard to help a mother in a labor ward. But in spite of all we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive as we had no incubator. We had no electricity to run an incubator. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for a box we had for such babies and cotton wool, and the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in tropical climates, and it was our last hot bottle of water, she exclaimed. They were in a dire strait. They needed a miracle too. The story continues. As in the West, it was no good crying over spilled milk. So in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over a burst water bottles. They do not grow on trees, and there are no drugstores down forest pathways. All right, I said, put the baby as near as the fire you safely can and sleep between the baby and the door. To keep it free from draft. Your job is to keep the baby warm. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with any of the orphanage children who would choose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about, and I told them about the tiny baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got chills. I also told them of the two-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. So the mother died and left this baby, and also a younger girl who was 2 years old. During the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt consciousness of our African children. And this little girl would pray, please God, she prayed, send us a water bottle. It will be no good tomorrow. God, as the baby will be dead, so please send it this afternoon. Can you imagine? While I gasp inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added, by the way of a colliery, she added to the prayer, and while you are about it, would you please send a doll for the little girl so she'll know you really love her? This little 10-year-old girl was praying, answer me, God. As often with children's prayer, I was put on the spot, says the missionary. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know that he can do everything. The Bible says so, but there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending a parcel from the homeland. I had been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I'd never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send me a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I lived on the equator. Halfway through the afternoon while I was teaching in the nurses' training school, a message was sent, and guess what, friends? A message was sent that there was a car had come to the door and there was a parcel there for her. A large parcel had come for her. She says, I felt the tears pricking my eyes. I could not believe. When she opened the parcel, guess what happened? She opened the package or parcel, as you would call it. She opened it. As she opened it, her hands were still trembling. She gasped. There, as she began to cry, there was a bottle, a water bottle, and a doll was in that parcel. God had sent it. That package had been sent long before this prayer. As the scripture says, before you could ask, I knew it. There it was. She rummaged down to the bottom of the box. She pulled out the small, beautifully dressed dolly. Her eyes shone. She had, you know, never doubted. This little girl, as after she saw the water bottle, she rummaged through the package. She never doubted God. And looking up at me, says the missionary, she asked, can I go over with you, Mommy, and give this doll to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus loves her? See, her faith. That parcel had been on the way for 5 whole months, packed up by my former Sunday school class. That's what the missionary says. For 5 months, that package was coming. Yet God would let that package reach on that day, at that time, knowing that somewhere in that place in the Congo, this family, this missionary, and this little girl would need that water bottle to warm that baby and save their life. I tell you, the scripture tells us, it's a scripture that says, before they call, I will answer. That is in Isaiah 65:24. Before they call, I will answer. God had answered that little girl's prayer. Friends, it is not just a season of prayer, it's a season of prayer every day of our life, praying without ceasing, you know. And so, in making it personal, you know, the writer wants to remind us, when we ask the question, how big is God? Big enough. What is your impossible situation, friends in Radioland? Where do you need a miracle? Why not tell God? Ask him to answer so you can give him the glory. Trust him like this little girl trusted him. Trust him today. How big is God? He is big enough. And Elijah knew it. It happened with Elijah. He knew that God was big enough. And so he's big enough for that child, and he's big enough for you and me. Isn't that awesome, friends? Isn't that our God is able to do all things but fail? All things but fail. And we must believe and continue to believe and trust God in all things. And I want to go back and just play a little music for us saying, God is real, right? Real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And so we give God thanks and praise this day because we know that God is real.
My God is real. tell.
I cannot tell
just how I felt when Jesus took my sin away. But since that day,
yes, he's real. Yes, he's real in my soul. You're listening to Pastor Nunes on Wisdom's Talk. Oh, yes, he has washed and made me whole. Has he washed and made you whole today? Yes, he's real. His love for me and for you is like pure gold. And I ask you, I invite you to join me again on Wednesdays and on Fridays from 5 to 6 p.m. on Wisdom's Talk, where we seek the word of God to be in right relationship with God, because we know we serve a real God. Oh, yes, he's real. Real in my soul today. Hope he's real in your soul. Praise God. Oh, yes, God is real. Until next time, we continue to listen to the music, and hopefully it'll touch your heart. You're listening to Wisdom's Talk. God is real, real in my soul. His love for me is like pure gold. Oh, praise God. As we just seek to sing this song again, I tell you, it is an awesome, just touches my heart today as we hear it on Wisdom's Talk. Yes, God is real. There are some things I may not know. I want to close out with this song. There's some things I may not know. There's some places I cannot go, and I really want to close out with that song again. If I could get it up again, I will close out with it, because we know that our God is real. Real in our soul this day. He has been so good to me. He has been better to me than I could ever have been to myself. And so let's listen a little bit more to the song as we close out until next time on Wisdom's Talk. Oh, praise God this day for his grace and for his mercy.
There are some places I can't.